So, we all came from the same source, a source of spirit. And it is our objective here in this program to bring ourselves back to that place and then become these magnificent miracle workers that we were destined to be from the very beginning. So the question is, if you came here from a source of perfect oneness and you signed up to be this divine master that you are, and to create and make the world into whatever it is that you want to make it into, and to stay in harmony with God, why in the world would you ever leave that source? You're here, you've incarnated in some mysterious way that nobody understands. You went from nowhere, N-O-W-H-E-R-E, from nowhere, to now here, N-O-W-H-E-R-E, same thing, just a little different spacing, that's all. Nowhere to now here. And here you are in now here. And everything that your senses have taught you is that you're going to leave now here and go back to nowhere, N-O. W-H-E-R-E. So your life is this little parenthesis in eternity, as Joel Goldsmith called it, just a little parenthesis in eternity. It opens parentheses at the moment of your conception. It closes parentheses at the moment of your death. And back you go to nowhere, to this place of perfect oneness where you can be all things to all people. There's no time, there's no space, there's no beginnings, there's no ends, there's no hatred. There's only oneness with God. So while we're here and now here, why is it that we don't stay connected to the source that we came from? Why don't we stay in spirit? Why don't we stay inspired? Because it seems to me that if we did, if we could figure out a way to do that and stay there, then we would be just these phenomenal, magical, mystical beings who could just have pure bliss and demonstrate it everywhere and raise people's consciousness just by our presence. And sickness couldn't even survive. Illness wouldn't exist. War wouldn't be possible. How could there be war? How could we want to kill anybody when we know that we're all connected and came from the same place? We would have this beautiful, wonderful, fantastic, mystical, joyful existence. So why don't we have that? I think one of the ways to look at this and to examine is why we left spirit when we showed up in form. Why did we leave it? Is to look, first of all, at the first 9 months of our life. From the moment of your conception until your birth. In those first 9 months that you were here, everything that you needed for this physical journey and this spiritual journey was handled for you completely. Everything. You totally, completely surrendered. You didn't interfere with any of it. So you needed a liver, you didn't say, excuse me, but I, knocking on the womb, you know, walls of your mother, I need a liver now, and I need some fingernails, and I need an eyeball over here. And you didn't do any of that. You just allowed. You were in a perfect place. And everything took place. There was like, it's a surrendering. It's a surrendering that you've experienced. You experienced for 9 months of your existence in which you didn't have to do anything. It's just all you had to do was be. And then you show up and you take on something, a new belief system, which is just a thought that you think over and over and over again about who you are. Now, who you really are is this divine thing. You must be like what you came from. Just try to imagine a field, an acre of land. And on this acre of land, there are 3 million pieces of trash, toilet seats broken, old upholstery, wiring of every kind, all kinds of electronic equipment all broken up, and pieces, dials over here, and the wires coming out of that. And can you get a picture of this, 3 million of these kinds of things, plaster and, all kinds of plastic stuff and, sheets of this and metal and rubber and old tires and just everything. It's just like a big junkyard, 3 million pieces of junk on this piece of land. And out of nowhere comes a hurricane force wind, 200 miles per hour. Blowing and blowing, just really, really blowing, 300 miles per hour, 400 miles per hour, right? Just blowing and blowing and blowing. And it comes across this acre of land where all these pieces, this disparate pieces of trash are, and they all go flying up into the air, all of them. They're just circling and circling and circling, and they're higher and higher and higher. They're all blowing and blowing and blowing. The wind passes, and all 3 million pieces are up in the air. And as the wind leaves, they all settle down and land on the ground. But instead of being 3 million disparate pieces of trash, there is now a Boeing 747 sitting there, ready to fly. What are the odds? What are the odds that without any kind of organizing intelligence, without any kind of masterful kind of planning of any kind, that 3 million pieces of trash could come down and be this perfectly organized thing called a Boeing 747. If it happened a billion times, do you think there'd be a 747? Doesn't seem possible, does it, that it could be? That they could all land perfectly and all be organized and all riveted together and all and ready to go. Now, a 747, in order for 3 million pieces to be taken and brought together, requires an enormous amount of intelligence in back of this product in order to be able to create it, doesn't it? A 747 compared to one human eyeball is like a tinker toy. We don't have the intelligence to be able to make a human eyeball with the trillions of cells that go into what is required to make one human eyeball. Don't you think, if you think about it logically, that there has to be some kind of an organizing intelligence behind the creation of your one eyeball in order for it to, it couldn't just happen by chance any more than this little tinker toy called a 747 could happen by chance. That it has to have some kind of intelligence behind it. We know what the intelligence is behind a 747. It's a group of scientists and a group of aeronautical engineers and a group of designers and all of these people all getting together and planning. But what is it that gets together to make an eyeball? And you know what? There are 6 million human eyeballs being produced every minute of every day. 3 million people are born and 3 million die in a world of almost 8 billion people. 3 million every minute exit, 3 million enter. Just keeps going on every minute of every day. That's just the way it is. And that doesn't say anything about the porcupine eyeballs and the squirrels and the whales and the fleas. I mean, what kind of enormous intelligence is behind the creation, not just of your eyeball, but of you? There has to be some kind of organizing intelligence that's more than just your parents getting together and accidentally having this thing all show up as you one night, when they got drunk or whatever it was that happened and how you got here, how you happened to show up here. It's like, it's got to be something more than that. I remember listening to Oprah speak at a talk that she gave not too long ago and out in California. And she said that her mother and her father had sex once in their whole life. One time. Under a tree.